It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. After years of rulemaking and debate, Wisconsin's Natural Resources Board adopted standards for forever chemicals in drinking water. This comes as the Trump administration is working to weaken comparable national rules.
Last week, the Wisconsin Natural Resources Board voted unanimously to adopt standards limiting the amount of two of the most common forever chemicals, PFOS and PFOA, to 4 parts per trillion. Other PFAS chemicals are limited to 10 parts per trillion. Those numbers match federal regulations set by the Environmental Protection Agency under the Biden administration.
But the EPA under the Trump administration is taking a different approach. In May, the EPA proposed to weaken this rule amid legal challenges. An EPA memo from January encouraged states to hold off on implementing PFAS standards.
What's next for Wisconsin? Dave Strifling is with us, director of Marquette University Law School's Water, Law, and Policy Initiative. And Steve Elmore is the director of the Drinking Water and Groundwater Program with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
And Dave, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Dave, let's start with you. These state regulations for limiting PFAS in drinking water, they've been in the works for years. What do you see as the significance of this vote from the Natural Resources Board approving these drinking water standards?
Well, there's a lot to be sorted out here. So to keep the main thing, as they say, the number one thing to keep in mind here is that we want to protect human health and the environment from the negative effects of PFAS. And this is a big step along the way towards doing that. Now, there are a lot of other issues to be sorted out here, as I said, legal issues and practical issues. Who's going to pay for this and how will small systems comply? But definitely an important step towards protecting human health and the environment.
And Steve, one thing I want to clarify right away, we're talking about drinking water here. That means what we think of as municipal water supplies and things like that. This new rule isn't talking about groundwater, which becomes drinking water if I put a well in it, right?
Well, correct. I mean, the rule that passed last week with the Natural Resources Board applies to public water systems, and we have about 2,000 public water systems in Wisconsin that this rule would apply to. So it's the municipal water that comes out of your tap if you live in a city or town. It's also applied to what we call non-community water systems. So that might be a school with its own well or an industry that maintains its own well for water supply. Those will all have to sample for PFAS and comply with these maximum levels in the drinking water.
And Steve, when I first started hearing about the PFAS story, I thought, oh, this is one chemical. Nope, hold on, Rob. It's a lot of different chemicals, even subclasses of chemicals. With that in mind, what are we seeing in these new guidelines now for drinking water that just got approved?
Yeah, I'll keep it simple, but this is a regulation for PFOA and PFOS. Those are two historical PFAS that we do find in groundwater and drinking water and were historically used in manufacturing and in firefighting foam in Wisconsin. So this rule regulates those. And then there's 4 other PFAS that are included in this too, and including a mixture of 4 PFAS that will have to be met with sampling and systems installing treatment if they have those chemicals in the drinking water.
Dave, you mentioned the health concerns with these chemicals. The amounts we're talking about here, we're talking parts per trillion, 4 parts per trillion, 10 parts per trillion, very, very tiny amounts. Are these things that dangerous in such small amounts?
Well, I'm not a doctor or an epidemiologist, but our understanding, or at least the consensus of our scientists, is that they certainly can be. They have been connected to health effects like cancer and thyroid issues, immune system impacts, and many, many more. And you mentioned the very small trace quantities here. I think that's part of the difficulty is, how do we measure these things? Because we know they're everywhere in the environment. They've been manufactured around the world and widely used in a broad array of products, food packaging, cosmetics, cookware, firefighting foam, and they enter our water system, water cycle in a variety of different ways. So measurement is a big part of the challenge here. But as far as the link to health effects, I'd say that's pretty firmly established at this point, yeah.
And Steve, what does that look like logistically when it comes to measuring these small quantities of these chemicals? What would the DNR, what would your program have to do to track these things?
So it'll start with what we call initial monitoring. Systems will have to take one or two samples from their wells or surface water intakes and measure the amount of PFAS in those in the drinking water using an approved method. So certified laboratories around the state and country can analyze for these chemicals in the drinking water, and then they submit those results to us based on those initial one or two samples. And it really depends on past sampling that the system has done, whether they need to take one or two. But based on those results, then we determine what frequency of monitoring they need to be on. And then compliance for these chemicals is 4 quarters. So, and then an average of the results over those 4 quarters. So 4 times a year, they'll have to sample for it. And then we average the results, and that will determine their compliance with these drinking water maximum contaminant levels.
Well, Steve, if I'm running a municipal water supply and we get that initial test, I'm over the levels and we've got this quarterly test, my average stays over, what then happens? How can I bring my PFAS levels back down?
Yeah, so the main ways you can reduce the levels of PFAS in drinking water is through treatment. There's two kinds of treatment typically used. One is an ion exchange treatment. That's a technology. And another is using granulated activated carbon as a filter to remove that from the water. You know, those two technologies are something we've seen being proposed or installed at systems in Wisconsin. Those are known technologies, and they are successful at removing PFAS from the drinking water. The other thing they can do is drill a new well. So they can move to an area of the city, town, village where PFAS contamination of groundwater doesn't exist. They can drill a test well and see if that area indeed is free of PFAS, and they can then drill the new well in that area. And then another way that can reduce the levels of PFAS is what we call through blending. And that would be mixing water from one well with another well in order to have the resulting drinking water be below these maximum contaminant levels. And so those are all options. And we're mostly seeing in Wisconsin installation of treatment, probably granulated activated carbon is the most popular treatment being installed. And then some new wells being drilled also.
Dave, you mentioned right off the bat, there's a lot to dig into here. I'm going to throw in one of those complicating factors now, what's happening at the federal level. We saw under the Biden administration standards, EPA standards that would match what we're having now here in Wisconsin. Hang on, the Trump administration looking to maybe reverse those standards. Talk us through that back and forth and what it means.
Absolutely. So EPA has said that it will defend two of the standards at issue here, the PFOA and PFOS, 4 parts per trillion regulations, but that it will abandon the other 4 standards. And meanwhile, the whole rule has been challenged in federal court by a utility administration and some chemical manufacturers as well. So we've got this pending litigation at the federal level in which the EPA is saying we're going to vacate, or we would like to vacate, 4 of these standards. The federal court, the DC Circuit Court of Appeals, has said not so fast to EPA, that we're not going to let you just vacate those 4 standards. We want you to brief that issue to us. And meanwhile, we've got the industry challenge to the other 4 standards as well. The argument there is that these standards are not feasible and not cost effective. So we've got to see what's going to happen at the federal level to see what the final version of federal law is going to look like. And in turn, that will have differing consequences for all the states as well. So again, it's sort of like boxes within boxes here that we have to investigate.
We're talking about new proposed standards for forever chemicals in Wisconsin drinking water, the PFAS or PFAS chemicals. We've got Steve Elmore, director of the Drinking Water and Groundwater Program with the Wisconsin DNR, and Dave Strifling, director of Marquette University Law School's Water Law and Policy Initiative. Steve, that brings the question, if there's all this federal upheaval over this and in the courts, why pass these standards now? The Natural Resources Board Chair Robin Schmidt told WPR the board approved the standards to, quote, continue to have primacy in administering the drinking water program, but also ensuring that public health is protected to the extent possible from these compounds. Steve, from what you've seen as we move through this process, why do you see the move to get this done now, even while things may be in flux at the national level?
Yeah, that answer from Robin was exactly correct. We have an obligation under federal law. If we're going to keep implementing the Safe Drinking Water Act in Wisconsin like we do now, our agency at Department of Natural Resources has what we call primacy to implement the Safe Drinking Water Act. If we're going to continue that, we need to adopt these federal standards now. That is an obligation we have. And implementation of the Safe Drinking Water Act is sort of an all or nothing thing, where if we don't adopt one aspect of the Safe Drinking Water Act, we could get our primacy taken away from us from EPA. And so we are required at this time to adopt these new standards. We currently do have PFAS drinking water standards in Wisconsin. Those are set at 70 parts per trillion for PFOA and PFOS. We are implementing that now, and we'll just be updating our standards and our rules to match the federal standard and be as at least as stringent as the federal standard is. And we're doing this in order to protect public health. This is the best science available on the levels that will be protective. And if there are changes to the federal law in the future, we can come back and make changes to our rules. That would be a conversation and a separate rulemaking that would happen. But that could be something that we pursue in the future.
Dave, industry groups like Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and the Wisconsin Paper Council have argued that the state should hold off on these kind of standards in drinking water with the federal rules potentially in flux. Republicans in the state legislature will have a crack at this. They could delay it along the same lines. Do you expect to see pushback in Wisconsin against these standards, whether that's in the court or the legislature?
Seems likely, based on the conversation that I've seen happening and unfolding so far. The legislature seems to have a little bit less control than it used to here because of a Wisconsin Supreme Court decision this past summer that took away some of the power from the legislature's Joint Committee on the Review of Administrative Rules. But the legislature still has significant authority due to its standing committees and something called the RAINS Act, which gives it authority over any regulation that's going to cause the incurrence of at least $10 million in costs over a two-year period. So something could develop there. Now, the question that I've seen debated already is whether that $10 million threshold is solely due to the federal rules, and so there's no additional cost here being imposed by the state, or whether those costs have to be considered as well in terms of legislative approval. So I think there's the potential for post-enactment challenges from a number of different directions here. The legislature would be one, water utilities might be another, who might say, this isn't adequately funded, we can't afford this or comply with this. And then some sort of generic industry or a manufacturing association challenge could happen here too. So I would expect to see something along those lines.
Steve, as I understand it, water systems would have until 2029 to comply with these standards, if I'm reading it right. If, say, a municipal water director called you up and said, hey, I want to start getting ready, what would you say to them to start getting ready to meet these standards?
Well, starting this year, we will be requiring monitoring as part of this, the initial monitoring under the rule. And then, like I mentioned, subsequent monitoring next year. They do have until 2029 to comply with the maximum contaminant level itself, meaning that the drinking water coming out of their plant and before it meets the first customer, it will have to comply with these standards. If not, if they don't comply at that point, then we'll be working through a compliance, return to compliance process with them. Right now, there is money available from our department through the federal government. This is safe drinking water loan money. And we also have some other pots of money, some emerging contaminants for small and disadvantaged communities, money that we do have available to help systems install treatment, drill new wells. And so they can contact us to find out how to access those funds. That's something that we have worked with over a dozen systems that we have delivered money so that they can start installing treatment and drilling new wells. And it has been successful. Some of those treatment systems are online now. So systems are already taking action to reduce the levels of PFAS in their drinking water.
Now, we've been focusing, as we said, on water utilities here. Looking at DNR numbers, about a quarter of Wisconsinites rely on well water. Dave, for that groundwater and well water, what kind of regulations are in place or in the works that you have your eyes on?
So a couple of things to think about here. One is those who rely on groundwater, that is nevertheless a public water system, will be covered by this rule. And what we're really concerned about, I think, are those who are on private wells, who are not public water systems, and what might apply to them. So for them, I think it's really what's really significant is DNR's pending rulemaking on PFAS in groundwater. And I'm sure Steve could speak to that in probably more detail than I could. But that covers a big piece of the puzzle that kind of has slipped through the cracks in Wisconsin and certainly many other states. Because if you're solo on a private well, you're the only one being served by it, you're not a public water system. And so your water wouldn't necessarily be covered by this rule, and it would be up to you to test for PFAS in your water. And that's what we're finding in a lot of parts of the country, that a lot of folks don't do that, don't test their wells. And so it's really important to cover that segment as well.
Steve, it's a whole nother piece of regulation here, but for that private well owner right now, what does your program recommend to them when it comes to watching for PFAS?
Well, right now, we don't have a blanket recommendation to sample for PFAS. Where we have known contamination of groundwater, we are working with counties and private well owners to work through trying to access funding for sampling and get private wells sampled where that seems necessary. You know, for instance, in Oneida County around the town of Stella up near Rhinelander, we've been working closely with private well owners in that area to offer free sampling so that they can be aware, private well owners, so they can be aware of the levels of PFAS in their drinking water. And then we have had well compensation assistance available for people in that area that can help them drill a new well or put on treatment to address the PFAS. We don't have that sort of assistance available statewide. It's something that we are working with our leadership here at DNR, and we've been in contact with legislators, and that's a part of the PFAS bill being discussed at the legislative level. And we hope that there'll be more assistance available in the future.
And we'll leave it there. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Dave, thanks again for being with us today.
Thank you.
Dave Strifling is director of Marquette University's Law School Water Law and Policy Initiative. And Steve Elmore is director of the Drinking Water and Groundwater Program with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Been talking about new rules for PFAS chemicals in drinking water here in Wisconsin.